Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It could happen here. I didn't think of an intro for this one. I really should have. I apologize to the readers. I was reading about Chinese SOEs instead. This is a podcast that's, I don't know, it's about things. I'm here
what
with Gary.
What a useful description. Unlike all those other podcasts.
Which aren't about things. And ours is actually about things. And today it's about hot dogs. And in order to talk about hot dogs, we're joined by Jamie Loftus, whose new book, Raw Dog, The Naked Truth About Hot Dogs, boldly asked the question, what if a book was good? Welcome to the show, Jamie. Hello.
Hello. So good to be here to talk about things. This is like the thingiest thing available, I think.
Yeah. So I read this book in... Okay, I don't know how you're actually supposed to divide up... Like, if you stand up to go to the bathroom in the middle of a sitting, is that still one sitting? But does that now increase it to two sittings? So I read this book in one sitting and it was great.
Whoa, one sitting with a bathroom break?
There, I think there was two technically, but yeah.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
Yeah. I'm so glad you liked it.
Yeah, and so, okay, so this is a book that's about hot dogs and also about, it's a tale of human and animal misery and suffering. And so, like, so as I was reading the book, my playlist pops up, Daniel Kahn and the Painted Bird song, The Butcher's Share. And so I'm like reading about this and the song starts going, let's take a walk around the old bazaar where every little thing has traveled far. Every pair of pants and grain of rice contains a horror story and its price.
Oh my God.
And I feel like it is incredibly thematic too.
Wow, this. really theming right at you.
Yeah, I was like, wow, okay, I guess reality is just sort of telling me what the plot is right now.
Yeah, I mean, that in another case, I think that's really important that we're talking about this right now, is that I believe your book was officially published on May 23rd.
Yeah.
Which is the 23rd day in the fifth month, which is obvious, of the year 2023, which is very important in the Discordian calendar. And your book's about hot dogs, which is it is the one sacred food in the religion of Discordianism. So for these reasons, I think it's really important we talk about this, because you must be a very powerful wizard to have figured this out.
Yes, I had to reserve this date years in advance. I saw it coming, and then by the time people caught on, it was too late. I had already wizarded my way into the most potent release date, and now, I mean, we all may be fucked because I didn't.
Someone's gonna assassinate JFK again. It's gonna be great.
And this time his head is going to explode like there was twice as much blood in it as the original. It's going to be really shocking.
As the original. I love that. It's like as the original series head. Or movies. Or yeah.
There's going to be a second grassy knoll stacked on top of the book depository. It's going to be amazing.
Has reboot culture gone too far? You know, it's not that good. It's a good question.
I was trying to do a reboot culture plug cycle back here thing, and I can't do it. I'm a hack and a fraud, but I wanted to talk to you a bit about one of the things you mentioned in the book is that you were trying to get into trying to be able to get tours of these packing plants, and they just didn't let you. So I wanted to ask a bit about like that process, because that seemed like it was incredibly chaotic.
Yeah, it was really frustrating and humiliating kind of every step of the way. As we were traveling, I had, you know, the map of places that I wanted to go. And then I also had a map of meatpacking plants that we could possibly go to on the way. And so I reached out a little bit in advance and got a ton of just no answers. And I would try to call. But generally, the excuse I was given was, well, we don't let people tour anymore since COVID. Because there were a few places. I know that the Vienna Beef Factory in Chicago used to do tours of very specific areas of the factory, kind of the least gnarly parts, which is saying nothing. But there were places that you used to let civilians tour, and now it's just, unless things have changed in the last, you know, year or so, no one can. And on top of that, in certain states, and this is also shifting, but ag-gag laws, I think, make it way less possible and appealing for any meatpacking plant to allow other people in, which is true. I mean, the ag-gag law rabbit hole is so sinister of just like instead of any meaningful improvement in meatpacking plants, they're inventing new laws to combat technology, which is just like terrifying.
Yeah, I mean that was was that technically pre-Green Scare?
That's a good question.
I think that was mostly like a mid 90s thing.
Yeah, but they've definitely kicked up. I mean, I think awareness of them in general has kicked up in the last couple of years in step with how horrible conditions were for workers during lockdown after the executive order. I think there was like all of a sudden a heightened interest in wanting to investigate it, and they were just blocked at every single turn. And there are some, I know that some have been overturned or in the process of being overturned, but I don't know. It seems pretty bleak to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, you know, I think on top of that, right, like, we found out, like, what, a month ago? Like, pretty recently also that there were a bunch of companies, of these meatpacking companies that were just, like, using child labor, and the children were getting horribly maimed.
Yep. That was in, didn't make the book, but I could have taken an educated guess, like, you know, like, truly, often so comically bad, it feels wrong, but it's just like so over the top horrible. And it sounds like describing current meatpacking conditions in the U.S. sounds like you're describing meatpacking conditions 100 years ago, and they were actually slightly better 100 years ago. So it is very bleak in the unions that still exist, but they are somewhat weakened, making it possible for laws like this to sneak through and active child labor. And there's, I know I put this in the book because it's something I think about all the time, where you know, down the line, it was reported that not only was working at a meatpacking plant one of the least safe jobs in the country during lockdown, but on top of that, a year later, it was revealed that the top brass at Tyson and Smithfield were directly colluding with the government and essentially drafted the executive order that was given in April 2020 to keep the meatpacking plants open. There were, you know, foremen and sort of middle managers at these companies that would take bets on how many of their employees would get sick. It was just like, it was cartoon evil. It was
I'm like constantly haunted by the taking bets thing. Like, that's I think about that like once a week, and I'm like, I think your line was like a continued thing of how okay with you are you with bringing the guillotine back, and I was like, you know, like this is
and it's the worst when it's like middle managers. I'm like, what is your end game here? Like, it's, I mean, I know what the end game is, but it's so bleak to, you know, be making, you know, just getting by and still betting against your like vulnerable people that work for you, who you see every day. It's just like, I mean, whatever, not surprising, but yeah, I was like, wow, there's no justice in hot dog land. There really isn't. Yeah.
I'm so curious about how curated what information is allowed to be shared. Like, I'm curious if, I don't know, if they know how bad it is even, or if they're just like conditioned not to think about it.
Yeah. From what I can tell, there are, and I write about one at length in the book, cause it's one of my favorite YouTube clips of all time. This like Canadian TV show. That's like I think it's just called How It's Made.
This is a very popular Canadian television show.
It's
I watched it's this an, one I, as a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I love shows like that, and I love specifically when they show you how something gross is made because they're really trying to like keep the mood light in a way that is like so funny with hot dogs, where it's like just these big machines farting out goo, and then there's like this bass line playing that's like boom 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 boom. The next step in the hot dog's journey is going to the shit vat, and you're like, what? It's so good. But it's really, I mean, those clips are ridiculously curated, and to the point where it's like I can't even really tell you what's missing, but I, you know, you can tell weird PR when you see it. And they're sort of showing the easiest, I don't know, it reminds me, I don't know why I'm like Theranos pilled today, but like it reminds me of the anecdote about Elizabeth Holmes where she was like taking Joe Biden around Theranos, and then there were like people in each room setting up the next room to look like it was a functioning business as the, like they were taking him through the rooms and successfully deceived him. That's very much what hot dog production clips feel like to me, which is wild because they're still disgusting. Like, you cannot make it look good. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, going back through years of reports, it's really difficult, understandably so, to speak with people who work at meatpacking plants as well, because there's like not a lot of that they stand to gain from talking to reporters. But there was a good Washington Post report about it in the early 2000s that detailed not just labor abuses within the workforce, but how, you know, when you're not paying your employees enough and not keeping the equipment updated, and are, you know, factory farming focused on just production, the animals are far worse off too. And there were some pretty horrifying descriptions of what would happen to animals when people didn't have the workforce or the tools to be able to you know, slaughter an animal in not the most horrible way possible.
I watched stuff before on factory farming, and like I don't I'm gonna have a real fun time sleeping tonight thinking about the fucking like I don't know. I mean, we should probably content warning this, because this is like the animal stuff, and this is genuinely horrible. Like, the specific thing I was looking at was like them talking about, like, they're like stunning an animal to kill it, but then the animal comes back and they're like literally chopping the animal apart while it's alive, and the animal's like blinking at them. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's like, it's haunting. And then on the worker's end, it's like, and don't stop or you're fired. And like, and you have no protection. It's just like, it's a nightmare in a lot of places. And there, it came around in an interesting way with, at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest last year, because they use, I don't know if they use Smithfield plants for all of their food, but they did certainly some of them. And there was a protester who came on stage while Joey Chestnut was gobbling 75 glizzies or something like that. And like the protester was like wearing a Darth Vader mask, and he had this sign that said like, take down the Smithfield Death Star. And it was a good, like a pretty solid protest. It made it on TV. But then Joey Chestnut tackled him to the ground and then just stood up and kept eating hot dogs. It was like, kind of, I mean, the protester was so in the right, but also watching Joey really just take someone just in the middle of eating, he was like 40 hot dogs deep, tackled this guy to the ground. And on like the low res feed I was watching, it looked like he killed him. And I was like, what did Joey just do on ESPN? Did he just kill a man? He didn't, but he injured someone. And he also had a broken leg at the time. Joey, not the protester. So it was just like,
and then he went back to eating
very,
hot dogs.
Very, very bizarre. And then he, yeah, and then he finished the contest and he was like, well, I would have beat my own record, but unfortunately I had to pause for 5 seconds to kill someone. But anyways, the especially Smithfield, I think is uniquely bad, but Smithfield and Tyson is just like horrendous with labor practices.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was like, I had a thing I was going to say and then it simply evaporated from my mind. You know what? Fuck it. Ad break. We're doing an ad break here to cover up my failures.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
I keep having this like false memory. I feel like it's like a something Mandela effect thing, where whenever someone says Joey Chestnut, I keep thinking it's a character from I Think You Should Leave, but whenever I look it up, I'm like, no,
it does
it's
sound
not.
Like that.
It
every single time.
I mean, it does sound like that, and I Think You Should Leave has such god tier hot dog jokes that Joey should be on that show, but unfortunately, he lacks charisma, and so
he also seems kind of like a bad person.
He's definitely complicit in a number of things. Very hard to know what Joey's politics are, which I know is intentional, but I'm like, what's going on with him? He's from San Diego, but now he lives in Indiana. I just don't feel like it bodes well, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that was another part of this that I was like, I was reading this, and especially like, given the shit that's been happening the last few weeks, reading about Takeru Kobayashi, the former champion competitive eating guy coming to the U.S. and then like having the very common Asian American experience of like coming to the U.S. and then slowly realizing, holy shit, this place sucks ass. Like, there's just a bunch of racists here and they hate us. And my boss is going to like run a racist PR campaign against me for money. Like
mask off, like every day, all the time. And here's the guy I'm going to be replacing you with. And you will be only abused until this guy can beat you, and then goodbye forever. And that's what happened. It's so, I don't know. I think it's fascinating in a very sick way, because it's like, he is just hot dog Vince McMahon. Like, it's absolutely who this guy is, and clearly idolizes Vince McMahon. The guy, George Shea, like, his wife wrote for the WWE and soap operas. And so he's just like very well versed in very racist, anti-woman, high drama. Like, it's just like what he, it's his favorite. And I hate him. And he's so uniquely in control of that world. It feels very Vince McMahon-ish, where you're like, surely someone else could do this job, but it's just not allowed.
If he's the Vince McMahon of the hot dog world, what are you now in the hot dog world?
Good question.
The study of hot dogs.
I'm one of the people who Vince McMahon covers up the murder of. I think probably that's eventually me. I'll be involved in a very small, suspicious incident in this man's life. I don't know. I mean, yeah, unfortunately, I feel like that's the best shot I have. It was interesting, though, when I released an excerpt of my book that was about Joey Chestnut, and they did not run this by me, but they just named the excerpt, "I'm in love with Joey Chestnut." I was like, okay, I guess I do say that, but I wouldn't lead with it. Anyways, the Major League Eating PR team reached out to me, and I thought it was going to be, I was just going to get like reamed, but it was just a light fact correct. It was very weird, a little menacing, but I guess that they're fine with me calling them evil. They're like, hey, when you said we were evil, your number was a little bit off, just so you know. And I'm like, thanks.
I guess nice press that. Is that's good nice. Press.
Yeah. Nice. Knowledge is power. And I changed my mind. I think they're great now due to this small fact correction.
Mm-hmm. ringing endorsement.
we're attempting to confirm live. There is not, in fact, a gun behind Jamie's head right now.
Look, I can't say. I think the two things, yeah, with the book being out now, it feels nice in most ways. And then two ways where I'm like stressed out about it, where I'm like, I'm afraid that George Shea is going to come for me. And I'm also afraid the entire city of Chicago is going
to
come for
me. Oh, okay. I want to talk about this because, okay. All right. So I'm going to have to go into witness protection after this, but I agree with you that the Chicago style hot dog's not that good. Yeah. Like, I think celery this. Salt on hot dog is really good, but yeah. It gets too soggy pretty quickly. It like the flavors don't necessarily go together. Like it's only okay. It's
wet and there's too much going on. And it's just like, it's a catastrophe. I was promising myself I would dial back on Chicago hot dog slander, but it's like not very good. And I think the main thing, it wouldn't bother me as much if they, I'm like, those people in Chicago who But if the Chicago hot dog loving community was just like, hey, we have this gross hot dog and we love it. That's fine. Unbridled enthusiasm for something gross. Love it. But then they top that off by being like, and if you like ketchup, you should walk into traffic and get hit by a car. Like, so aggressively hate ketchup in a way that I don't know.
No, I don't
love
get this
something
either.
Disgusting, like, but hating something innocuous is such a weird thing to do. It's very bizarre.
I also got like just absolute whiplash reading this because one of the places you go to is the incomprehensibly named Fatso's Last Stand. And I was literally yes. there last week by accident because I
no way.
Yeah, so I was like an absolute fool. I was trying to travel at 7 a.m. on 2 hours of sleep because I was writing an episode. Oof. And I took a bus the wrong way and I ended up there. And I was like, what the fuck have I just walked into? And I opened this book and I was like, oh, my God, what is happening to me?
Empty Fatso's Last Stand sounds like a very scary liminal space to exist
in. It was so accursed. Like, I was like getting off the bus and the bus driver was like, are you sure you want to get off here? And I was like... Yeah, well,
that's the
I
beginning
mean,
of like a I don't know Goosebumps episode.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah, and then you find out that Fatso's Last Stand burned down 20 years ago. Did you get anything?
They weren't open.
Oh god, pretty good. It was pretty good there. And then I've since gone back to Chicago because I didn't have time to go everywhere I wanted to. And I've since gone back, and I do genuinely like the Chicago-style hot dog at Red Hot Ranch. I'm a big Red Hot Ranch head. I've converted. But a lot of it is, yeah, it's just bizarre. And the hating the ketchup thing is confusing. And then I went to Pittsburgh recently, and they're Ketchup City, USA. And so I was having some interesting conversations. And yeah, this is what my life is like now.
The other thing, okay, so there's two more very specific hot dog questions I need to ask. One is, do you have Portillo takes?
Ooh, not really. I like Portillo's. I've been in Illinois and I've been in California too. It's a classic. It's good. It didn't make it into the book because there was like so many hot dogs that didn't make it into the book because they're like, all right, that's just you saying like there were so many paragraphs in a row of like, and then I had this one and I liked it. And then I had this one and I liked it. And so my editor was like, all right, we can cut. But yeah, I had to cut whole chapters. It's so wild how long this book could have been were I not reined in. But there was, well, this is Chicago relevant too. I took a 2-day course called Hot Dog University through Vienna Beef from this guy.
That's a thing. Can you repeat that for me? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm a graduate of Hot Dog University. It's a course where it was on Zoom. Unfortunately, it used to be in person. This is guy Mark, PhD, professor of hot dogs, and you take the course, and he teaches you how to open your own hot dog stand over the course of 2 days. And it was actually, I learned a lot.
How many people were on the Zoom?
There were three people. It was me and two guys from Chicago. and I was trying to like be, I didn't want to say why I was there. So I was trying to just like, oh, my name's Jamie, and I'm interested in opening a California hot dog stand. And Mark was really interested in that idea. And it was a couple months of me kind of like dodging some emails of like, I'm not going to do it. I never told them, but I'm not going to do it.
Okay. So, all right. I'm now conflicted because I have a great hot dog stand pivot, but also I want to ask you the second hot dog question, which is, have you had Japa dogs?
No, I haven't had Japa dogs yet. I wanted to go because I know that there's like a bunch. There's some in Vancouver. Is that right? Like I know that
it's a Canadian Canada thing
coded.
My friend in Vancouver keeps insisting I eat it and I refuse.
I wanted to go to Vancouver and try it because like Northwestern hot dogs, there's a lot going on there in a good way. Like so Portland, Seattle, big fan of their hot dogs. Yeah, I didn't get to Japa dog. There were a few places. There was a place in Maine I really wanted to go to, but it was so on the side of the highway and open 2 hours a day that it was like,
oh no,
it would be so logistically hard to be there. but working on it. Yeah, I want to go to Jaffa Dog someday. I went to, I got hot dog poutine in Montreal recently, which I guess is a common poutine make. It was great.
So now that you've dedicated, I'm guessing, multiple years of your life.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Not getting those back.
To, I guess, it's studying both hot dogs and like the cultural conditions that are created around them. Do you feel like a better person?
Ooh.
Or have you learned something extremely useful about American culture that will improve your life going forward?
Thank you for the two alternatives to the question. I would say that knowing more about hot dogs did make me a better person. I think, I hope. And I think that, like, I don't know, it's like, it feels better to, or I don't know, like I enjoy stuff that it's like, you can get to a really dark and serious place, but they seem so innocuous. It's like, whatever, getting Hansel and Gretel to come into your candy house and then being like, actually, it's fucking Murder City. Everyone's fucked in here. Like, you're going to have fun for a little while. The food is delicious, but then you're going to die. Like, I like subjects like that. And getting to, I don't know, I've met genuinely, when we had the book release show the other night, I've met so many nice people through the hot dog community.
Hot dog community.
It's true. I had this guy I met in a parking lot in Culver City. He was a Wienermobile driver at the time. Mm-hmm. And he like brought his fiance and we talked on stage and he was reflecting on his Wienermobile heyday. And he told me this, I'm excited because at the time he was still working for Oscar Mayer. And I was like, do people have sex in here? And he was like, I don't know, probably. But now he doesn't work for Oscar Mayer. So I was like, do people have sex in there? You have no loyalty at this point. And he was like, okay, well, I never did, but there's like six seats in the Wienermobile. And I guess on the back left, it's called the meat seat. And that's where you fuck.
What? The meat seat?
I know. Oh. It was really, it was really shocking. And he's so sweet that it was really scary to hear it coming out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. So there is the meat seat. Anyways, I've met a lot of nice people through hot dogs, and I've learned stuff I did not know. So it's fun.
Well, you too can become a better person by purchasing the book Raw Dog wherever books are sold.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.
One actual serious question. Have you ever watched the movie Food Fight?
No. Wait, when is it from?
The 2012 computer animated movie starring starring supermarket food mascots. That and they unite to fight the generic brand food products in their grocery store. And there's a lot of really weird Nazi imagery, really uncomfortable, like over sexualization. And some of the most garish animation you've ever seen. It's a pretty wild movie. It was in development for like almost a decade and a half.
Charlie Sheen, Eva Longoria, Hilary Duff.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Mad Lib.
What a different era.
Wow. Christopher Lloyd plays one of the villains. It is one of the worst like acid trips of a movie just because of like it is just really bad.
That is
so crazy that I have zero recollection.
It predominantly
of this movie
features
ever
hot dogs.
Made.
So
well.
I mean hot dogs are certainly prominent on this poster. I'm just like shocked at them billing the Starkist tuna above the Twinkie. It doesn't make sense to me.
Also, there is a dog character who's just like Indiana Jones, but a dog that is also in a romantic relationship with a human woman.
I don't want to know where the Nazi stuff comes in, but I am. This is so wild because it's like I thought that Sausage Party was the worst thing to happen to this genre, and it's
this
horrible.
Is like,
but
this is like the dark side of Sausage Party.
No. Oh no! Oh my god! Oh, and there's a sequel, Food Fight. It's About Time. What?
I've not heard of this.
No.
Oh, maybe this is fake. No, maybe this is fake. I hope it's fake. Yeah, this is so ugly. Holy shit.
No, it is. It is one of the worst movies ever made. It's garish. It's upsetting. It is weirdly fascistic. And it's also like primarily based around like brand promotion. Also, a lot of these big food companies like signed these contracts in the late 90s. And of course, the film didn't come out until 2012.
Oh my God.
So there's a whole bunch of really weird like Food Fight merchandise that was made with all of these brand mascots. And it's all extremely questionable.
That does explain the cast.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's a late 90s cast to have Wayne Brady playing Daredevil Dan,
right,
and Christopher Lloyd playing Mr. Clipboard. Chris Kattan is in it. Yeah, this movie has been in development for a long time.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Anyway, I was just wondering, since it is supermarket food, hot dog adjacent, and it does often draw parallels to Sausage Party, which is also obviously one of the most famous hot dog films.
One of the most famous films.
Quote unquote films.
Thank you.
Motion
for
pictures.
Cinema.
I have I've been wearing them at the shows. They did make Halloween costumes for Sausage Party.
Oh my God.
And they have the bun that looks so visceral. It has vagina mouth, and then they gave the bun huge boobs and a huge butt. Anyways, she's voiced by Kristen Wiig. And I have the costume and I've been wearing it.
Wait, no, you have the actual costume?
Yeah, I have it. It's right
over there.
Oh, no. Tonight.
Oh, gosh.
You're wearing it for your book stuff?
Yeah, I love a costume change, especially when it is also a jump scare.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's incredibly upsetting. That's about all the time we have today, folks.
Jamie, where can people find the hot dog book?
Oh, you can find it all over the place. But I would recommend getting it from bookshop.org if you're ordering online. It's a really cool website that will automatically purchase from your nearest independent bookstore and send it to you. So yeah, it's a pro-labor book, so don't buy it from somewhere shitty. Use your head. But yeah, get it. And there's also, I also narrate the audiobook. If you, like many people have been telling me for the past couple of days, are like, a book, kind of a long podcast in a way. And I was like,
whoa,
sure.
Whoa.
Feels great. Feels great to hear.
All right. And where can people find you on the internet and the stuff that you also do that's not the hot dog book?
Bravely still on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help and Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. And then you can listen to me on the Bechdelcast every week on this very network.
Well, I sure hope you cover Food Fight in an upcoming episode.
I do.
We just covered Sausage Party, and I think we both have PTSD.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we have like a detox period first.
And then come back with Food Fight and by the end be like, you know, Sausage Party wasn't that actually bad. That bad.
Yeah, this is the one you do when the paperback comes out.
Oh my god, honestly. Nice.
Not the worst idea. I do want to watch this movie now, but I like looking at the poster, I'm like, I don't know if I can watch it alone, but I will watch it.
we can surely plan something.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you for coming on and talking about hot dogs and labor and all of your hard work. You can find us on Cool Zone Media on most of the Instagrams and Twitters and other places, and Happen Here Pod. Keep on dogging. Yep. Okay.
As they say.
As they say. Yes.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get 3 wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, Tomboy X designs gender and size-inclusive underwear and apparel. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com.